This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, now 26 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, everyone. Good afternoon. It's good to be with you. I'm Drew Mariani. There is a strange phenomenon occurring in various places throughout the globe. There are reports of the Blessed Virgin Mary, statues of her glowing. I had heard one, months ago, coming from a place of reported apparitions, a site called Medjugorje, and that got a lot of buzz. But I just heard of another one, this one coming out of Belgium, where these statues tend to fluoresce or glow, or there's a luminosity to them that's really unexplainable. How credible are these claims? What do they mean? And do they tie into any significant message of our Blessed Mother? I shared with you not too long ago, I think it was last week, that there were reports also of dozens of icons that have wept in Russia and in the Ukraine. They started weeping in light of some tensions between these two countries. And it's interesting. I actually did a documentary on this phenomena of lacrimations, of weeping statues, and looked at it. And there's a very interesting history to these things, because quite often they do take place on the eve of larger scale events, you know, whether it was the Russian Revolution of 1917 or a natural calamity of some sort, the rise of a world war. And I'm not here to scare anybody or to say that. I want to take a very objective look at this. You've got icons crying tears and tears of blood in Ukraine and in Russia. And these are happening in various parishes and monasteries, you know. And they raise some interesting questions. Why is this happening? You know, why does God send the Mother of God in apparitions? You know, why does he allow these events to take place? Joining me today is Michael O'Neill. He's the creator of the website MiracleHunter.com. It's really the web's top resource on Marian apparitions, and it's been cited in blogs and articles all around the world, and known him for quite a while. He's been a friend of the program for a long time. You can check him out again, MiracleHunter.com. And he's also a member of the Mariological Society of America. Michael, good to have you back.
It's great to be on, Drew. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure talking with you. We have a similar view. We love Our Lady, and I know you know a lot about her and her apparitions. Fill me in on this Belgium story where a statue was reported by competent eyewitnesses to be glowing. What's happening there?
Well, it's one of these things, Drew, that it's been happening now since the middle of January, and it's just getting some buzz on the American press and the internet right now. So this is something that's been gaining a little bit of steam, but I guess it's been going on for a little bit. It's taking place in this small town in southern Belgium called Jahai, and it's in the Diocese of Liège. And that's about a 30-minute drive from Liège, which is the larger city around there. And they've been getting thousands of visitors, as many as 500 people a day, traveling to this tiny little town to see what's going on with the statue. And the statue, as far as the reports that I've read, is a very small statue. It's about a foot tall. It's sort of a off-white or beige color on a white pedestal or base. It's made of a resin. It's owned by a older retired couple who's opened up their home to have people come in and take a look, and it is giving off a very soft glow at night. And they've owned the statue for years, but all of a sudden, in the last couple of months, this thing has been glowing. So really an interesting phenomenon. Nobody knows what to make of it. Wow. And the authorities, the church authorities there, have actually begun to investigate it. The bishop of Liège, his name is Jean-Pierre Delville. He's sent Father Leo Palm there from the local diocese to investigate. And the couple who owns the statue is refusing to let it leave the premises.
I don't blame them. I'd be the same way.
But the investigation is going on, and I have a quote here from Father Leo Palm. He says, "It is certain that something is going on, but I can't tell you whether there is a natural or a miraculous explanation." So it's one of these things that it's not established as supernatural as of right now, but they're keeping their eye on it.
You know, I think it's important too, because there's been a lot of hoax, a lot of ways that chicanery and trickery can make these things you know, manifests, whether they're tears or glowing. And that's why I think it's always prudent to let you know, proper authorities investigate it. What I found interesting about this particular statue, it was made in the image of Our Lady of Bonneau. And there was a series of apparitions in Belgium, two of them, Barang and Bonneau, in the 1930s. What do you know about Our Lady of Bonneau, and why Belgium now? What role does that play? Was there a message she gave in Bonneau? What's the significance of her under that title?
So it would be great if it were clear why a glowing statue and why now, if in fact right. It is legitimate. But as you mentioned, it's in the image of Our Lady of Bonneau, who is the Virgin of the Poor. And that's Belgium became sort of the center of Marian apparitions for a couple of years there, mm-hmm. 1932 and 1933, with Barang and Bonneau, two of the major apparitions happening, and they both have complete church approval, which there aren't many of those, as you know, Drew.
Oh,
so
yeah.
that was very fascinating that they happened back-to-back in Belgium then. This statue currently, it's in the style of Our Lady of Bonneau, the Virgin of the Poor. And I don't know if there's any significance to that, other than, you know, obviously we have Pope Francis putting a new emphasis on the poor, and obviously that's a continuing concern around the world. But in the case of Bonneau in Belgium, there was a young girl, she was 11 years old, her name was Mariette Becco, and she received 8 apparitions in 1933. And Our Lady came as the Virgin of the Poor, and she made promises to intercede for the poor, the sick, and the suffering. That was kind of the centrality of her message there. And it took them some years, as the church often does, to investigate these things. But it happened in 1933, and after several rounds of investigations and research, 1949, the church gave full approval to it. So wow. That's sort of the background on that apparition there.
That's pretty amazing. Give me your take, too, just on the role. I mean, quite often, as you know, Our Lady... God has sent her to draw us back to her son, Jesus. And there's quite often in many of these approved apparitions, nothing contrary to faith or morals. The church has a very thorough criteria in which they evaluate apparitions. And Our Lady, like some of these lacrimations that have been reported, often come on the eve of events, almost as an opportunity for mankind to be made aware of the invisible. These manifestations make visible, I think, the invisible, whether they're an apparition or a weeping statue, and a call for us to maybe contemplate in a greater way a heavenly reality. What's your take on these weeping statues that are supposedly taking place, icons weeping in monasteries and churches in Russia and the Ukraine, as well as the role of Our Blessed Mother? I mean, there were reports of very visible apparitions in the Ukraine before the collapse of the Iron Curtain. But do you, your thoughts on that, if you would, Michael?
Absolutely. I think one thing to point out is that in modern times, when the church has done more serious investigations, there have been no glowing statues that have received any approval after the investigation. But there have been, as you pointed out, weeping statues that the church has actually investigated and approved. The vast majority of those are fakes or hoaxes or somebody getting some wild imaginative ideas, but there have been some lacrimating statues, as you point out. And I think the idea there is that they come as a sign to us. They come as a sign of Our Lady in suffering, or warning us to turn back to Christ, to return to the sacraments, to return to having a penitent heart. I think that's the essence of these messages, where she appears sorrowful in our eyes, and she manifests herself in these ways, both in these lacrimating statues, but also in the apparitions, in which she expresses a message of her sorrow, and then we must return to the sacraments and to penance.
That's very well said. Michael, your website, if people want to learn more about any of these apparitions that we've talked about, and there's a whole lot more. I don't think there's another website in cyberspace like yours. It's very comprehensive in terms of what you've chronicled there. That website, miraclehunter.com, is that the best place to go?
That's correct, Drew, and I just wanted to mention a new project that I've started, and it kind of focuses on these miraculous statues and titles of Our Lady throughout the world. It's called 365 Days with Mary.
Wow.
And over the years, I've been looking at these miraculous statues, apparitions, these events that have changed both the universal church, case of Guadalupe, for example, Fatima, but then you look at local communities that have had miracles in times of famine or other disaster where Our Lady has come to their aid. And they celebrate these each and every day of the year. There's a feast day or a commemoration. And so I compiled all the data and I put it together in a new resource. And that website is 365dayswithmary.com. And that is on Facebook and Twitter as well, where if you like it, you will get a new title of Our Lady every day to pray to her under. And it's all approved apparitions and all awesome. Traditional and legendary information on there that the church has gotten behind and built churches and basilicas for. So it's all very interesting, but each and every day there's a new title.
And you're a master web designer, so I know it'll be great. I got to check it out. I did not know you created another website, one dedicated to Our Lady like that. So what I'll do is maybe later today when I get off the air, I'll try to put a link up at facebook.com. Keyword is the Drew Mariani Show, and I'll link over to 365 Days with Mary. You can find that there as well. Hey, Michael, I always appreciate your perspective and all the hard work you do. Thanks for being here with us today.
Thanks so much, Drew. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Michael O'Neill, folks, it's just about 15 minutes before the top of the hour. We need to take a short break. When we come back, I'll share with you also my own experience with a weeping icon. Pretty amazing stuff. Don't go away.